Good morning to the National Commissioner and the team, our visitors. Members and the department, the Honourable Mulabati asked me when it's my birthday today, it's not. Mr. Finan Roberts, who's walking there at the back, gave me the flowers and I say thank you very much for that. And
what for?
Mr. Finan Roberts is a member of the CPS in Cape Town Central Police Station. And as members know, he often attends our meetings, and it's, by giving it to me, it's a sign of appreciation for the work that the committee is doing. And then the roses at the back, he says it's for every single woman who are here today as well. Today, on each of them. And because he worried you might give it to somebody else but your wife. So, yeah, please just quiet them down the school of honor. Thank you. Yeah, and I expect you to declare those. on a more serious note, Mr. I want to say what you said to me. You said, "No, it's flowers for on all the ladies here, and obviously there are flowers everything for the men." Because at sign also, you said, specifically in terms of the department, if they can survive the weeks. Meetings and all the questions and everything, and I think it's also, I actually appreciate it very much, because it's also for me symbolic of the engagements that we have between the department and the committee, that it's tough engagements, but it's done in a positive sense, and it is done with a joint interest, and that interest is to give and to ensure and to acknowledge the work that the police do, but to strive to do better and give the security to our people that they do deserve. So if I may ask that we just give a hand for the... See that also as a hand to the department and the committee. Members, we're ready to start. We're starting with Programme 4, Crime Intelligence. National Commissioner, before we start that programme, I just want to make a comment. Evan, I'm going to ask all the school games so that I can see the members on this side. Put it here. Before we start, National Commission, I just want to make a comment. The committee is extremely concerned about the quality of the APPs of crime intelligence, as well as what is progressively becoming a more skeletic reporting of crime intelligence. Well, you don't even have to go back 5 years to see what was in the annual report around crime intelligence compared to what we have in the annual report currently around crime intelligence. Now, this committee is not naive, and it is well aware of the fact that there are limited things that can be reported to the committee in terms of crime intelligence. But we are feeling very strongly so that in the past 2 years, both the APPs and the reports have been watered down. And we would like to see that we improve on this. I think it's in the interest of all of us that we do, especially around the part that deals with open funding. I mean, that's the only part that this committee deals with in any case. We've raised this issue previously as well, that it is possible when we talk about the number of intelligence reports to also weigh that reports, to add a value to those reports. And we've asked that be looked at. And I think we must we will definitely sit down as one of our recommendations again. But I'm also pleading that even before we start, that we get agreement on that we can improve in terms of the reporting to Parliament on this part of it. I hand over to yourselves then. I will, after you have presented, I will then just remind the committee again about the issues that we raised last year around climate change.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And let me start off by acknowledging and noting your comments, and that we will take them forward for intervention. Let me start off by introducing the team that is joining me this morning to present program four. I will start off by apologizing for the two heads of those functions. Major General Gaza is out of the country on a work assignment. Major General Ngobo has been booked sick by the doctor. The following team is available to engage us this morning. The person who is leading the team is Major General Mukani, who are asked to raise her hand from sick. Thank you. There is Brigadier S. Shalani, Brigadier Nemchandela, Brigadier Tilson, Colonel Vuma, Lieutenant Colonel Olifis, Colonel Peterson. Thank you very much. Chairperson, let me say, as we present this report, we present it against the backdrop of some issues that I'd like to highlight as areas that I'm embracing and taking into account as areas that require attention. I am on record in writing and publicly that indeed the sentiment you've expressed of your concern about this area are equally shared by us as management. It is for that reason that I said I shall be giving this environment my personal attention. The backdrop against which we present this performance is that of an environment that is having challenges. There are challenges around the continuous acting leadership due to reasons beyond our control, to which there are dependencies that are external to us. However, that acting leadership brings in paucity in terms of leadership guidance, leadership consolidation, and again, it is for that reason that some of the challenges are being overlooked. That in itself, Chairperson, would invariably have an impact on collective accountability for the team and strong team attributes in the environment. I also present this report against the backdrop of questions being asked around the intensity or the depth of value added by this environment towards our crime intervention and our crime mitigation efforts as a service. I'm also of the view that that environment would do with a rehabilitation of a strong sense culture. Because as being a division in the police, the entire police service are customers of that environment. I note also, Chairperson, that we would need to strengthen the provincial presence and leadership of the environment, because also it is struggling under acting leadership. Indeed, I agree with you in terms of the need to revisit our ATP so that we can strengthen our performance indicators, because when they are well articulated, well formulated, and focused towards ensuring that we measure that which we are doing in an accurate manner, it shall assist us to be focused as an organization. So the whole issue of performance management and relevant performance indicators, we shall be going into, as you're proposing, we had it also in mind. I also would like to say one of the things that I said to the team is that intelligence should be both inward looking and outward looking. However, the balance thereof is very crucial. I would actually say, as I present this report, we are more inward looking than outward looking, and it is a balance that I'd like to be re-looked into, because that balance is crucial in assisting us to achieve what we're supposed to achieve. Issues have been raised around fitness for people, which talks to vetting processes. That is also underway. We've given that priority, even though we haven't reached a level of completeness. I want to deal with issues also, and I'm dealing with all of them, with such issues in the entire service. Issues of criminality and numbers are also being taken care of in that environment, because the CI is not an island entirely of itself. They are part and parcel of a whole, the country of South. So I'm also looking at those issues. Issues of capacity care, training, recruiting the right people, ensuring that we bolster our capacity to meet the growing challenges of sophisticated crime that we're dealing with and stuff becomes very, very crucial. Yes, we have training that is being given in our academy. We do live with other agencies, the SSA, the intelligence, but I'm also of the opinion that we need to scout for other training platforms, because it is when our trainees are sharp that we could do more. There are issues of morale because of leadership quality, as I said, from members. I'm aware that I need to ensure that we create an enabling environment that is able to reignite in the members that reinvigoration of morale. But as I say all these things, Jefferson, I also want to say, indeed, there are members in that environment who just need us to create an enabling environment so that they can do their work. They have the passion. They have the right attitude. They need us as leadership to bring in the necessary stability. Finally, I just want to say, Chairperson, as I have reported when I was announcing the structure, we are indeed separating protection services from PI, because in my opinion, that's the start of rebuilding both the environment to be able to do what they're supposed to be doing. And for that, Chairperson, we will be looking at a focused change management process in order to deal with some of the issues that will be coming out of that space. So what I'm saying, Chairperson, is that in the basket of priorities, I am having crime intelligence. I'm also in the process, will be giving very strong support to the growing environment of protection. And I'm hoping that with them, with the leadership that we're having, we would be able to give a much more advanced report when we come to this forum next year to talk about what we've done, about ambitions and aspirations that I'm just sharing with you. I remain truly thankful for the advice and the feedback that I get in this space. I read, we hear a lot of input, but that we will be focusing on chairperson despite the constraints that are outside our control. On that note, Chairperson, I'd like us to invite Major General Munkani to start with the indicators of program for crime intelligence. Major General Munkani. Yeah, they say post 50 certain things, the delete function is very active. And the search memory is extremely slow. I'm for that. Post 50.
Don't worry, you won't do that again.
Thank you. General Sketch, my apologies. May I ask you to lead us into this program? Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Today we start with the program for crime intelligence, and we once again just remind members of the committee and all concerned of the different purpose, strategic objectives, and the sub-programs. Now, the purpose of crime intelligence as point departure is to manage crime intelligence and analyze crime information and provide technical support for investigations and crime prevention operations. Actually, quite a mouthful. The strategic objective is to contribute to the neutralizing of crime by gathering, collating, and analyzing intelligence that leads to actionable policing activity. The crime intelligence program comprises of two sub-programs, namely crime intelligence operations and then intelligence and information management. If we then attach figures to those, one would immediately see that the program crime intelligence, as indicated, consists of the two sub-programs, crime intelligence operations and then intelligence and information management. Now, crime intelligence operations have adjusted estimate, a budget of 1.033 billion, and the actual expenditure was 1016 billion, 98.3% spent in this regard, which is a high expenditure level, leaving 17.5 million variance. Then also intelligence and information management, 1.556 billion, of which 1.553 billion was expended, leaving a variance of 2.9 billion. All in all, 2.590 billion adjusted estimates or budget allocation, with an actual expenditure of 2.570, giving one a 99.2% expenditure. If one look a little bit at the strategic composition of this program crime intelligence, members should please note that it is, as we've indicated previously, personnel intensive, and compensation is approximately 89% of the total budget of 2.590 billion, and in this regard, 99% would represent 2.228 billion of the total of 2.590 billion. Equipment and operational expenses include fuel, approximately 78 million, then vehicles, 50 million, then maintenance of the fleet, 36.3 million, and then telecommunication, 29.4 million. The main feature, however, remains then the personnel intensive nature of the sub-program in this regard. Obviously, please note this does not include the Secret Service account, which is not part of the local police. Thank you.
And before we continue, we have a problem. The presentation that and the slide and what was distributed to us is not in the same figures as is in the annual report. I refer you to page 145
What you see there in the annual report is the actual expenditure is exactly the same middle column. 1016, 1553, and then 2570. The final appropriation is the same as the actual expenditure. That means that was after the meeting and chairperson. What we should actually look at is appropriation statement in the financial statements, which are exactly this. This is part of the program information. The financial information where you have adjusted appropriation. If I may, just indicate to members of the committee, please go to page 214 of the annual report. The first column, you will see the adjusted appropriation of 2590600. That's the first column there. And then your second column will then be your actual expenditure. That's the 1234 for the fifth column, which will be 2570087. And then the variance would be on your right-hand side. In the program information, that appropriation was after the deferment, obviously, when you balance back your actual expenditure, that I had to show it against the adjusted appropriation of funds. Thank you.
I just wanted to get clarity on it because we were looking at the wrong one day in the annual report. Continue, please.
Thank you, National Commission. Good morning, Madam Chair. My part will all have to do with Program 4, Crime Intelligence. The actual performance against the target, the strategic objective, as the Deputy National Commissioner Kirk has already alluded to that, was to contribute to the neutralizing of crime by gathering, collecting, and analyzing intelligence that leads to an actionable policing activity. The third sub-program, Madam Chair, that I'm going to deal with is the sub-program on crime intelligence operation. In relation to that, our first performance indicator remains follows. The number of network operations resulting from intelligence file. As we look into the achievements of 2011-2012, it reflected in terms of the network operations that the achievement was 49,019 operations that were being conducted. The target that was set for 2012-2013 was 28,145 network operations. In that regard, Madam Chair, I'd like to put that in terms of our achievement for that particular year, we reached the target of 37,188 network operations. The deviation from the planned target to the actual achievement was 9,043 network operations. In that comment on that issue, we hereby say that we actually have achieved our target in that area.
Maybe before she first come in, the 49,019 was high because that was the year of the 2010. Or whatever. If you go back to the actual performance outside that year, maybe General Muntana, if you have that, so that members can have an understanding of why we moved from 49 back to 28145. I think that is very important.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Madam Chair, actually, the figures that we had in our annual report plan for 2010-2011 was actually 24,384. If we look into that one, and in exclusion to the one as the National Commissioner has alluded pertaining to the Bureau of FIFA, and looking into the target that we have set before ourselves for 2012-2030, the actual variation is more or less not far from the actual figure of 2010-2011. May I proceed? Thank you. We therefore move to the next performance indicator. The next performance indicator is the number of Crown Intelligence products relating to a following operational analysis report, which includes the profile, which includes the intelligence analysis report, which includes communication analysis report, communication interception analysis report, and station and cluster crime threat analysis report. As we are looking into the targets that we set for 2011-2012, vis-a-vis the targets that were set 2012-2013, in 2011-2012, we're at 353,728, whereby in 2012-2013, the current target was 256. I'll therefore explain the further breakdown in terms of the operational analysis part of it, where the achievement and the management lies. On the profile, if we look into the 2011-2012, we had 110,033. And as you compare it to our annual report for 2012-2013, our profile has escalated from 110 to 123,069. Now, making a comparison of the following second bullet in relation to the intelligence analysis report, whereby in 2011-2012 it was reflecting at 137, vis-a-vis the decrease that we have in the period 2012-2013, whereby our figure in terms of the intelligence analysis report is from 90,761. The next bullet explains the communication analysis report, whereby in that same bullet on our analysis there was also a decrease. From the previous achievement of 2011-2012, we had 15,000 vis-a-vis our 2012-2013, where there was a decrease to the number of 6,240. When the chair added that together and making comparison three of 2011-2012 to 2012-2013, we actually have increased our operational analysis report to a figure of 55,626, whereby one was clear that the target was achieved. May I proceed to the next point? Thank you very much. Then the final sub-program in Program 4, which is the Intelligence and Information Management. The performance indicator on that one is specifically on the number of crime intelligence products. I'm continuing from the previous slide. We have just completed the part of the others, exception to this issue. I therefore kindly like to give a continuation in that relation. Particularly, all that is to do now in this operational analysis report, the communication interception report. Madam Chair, if you also look into that, you could see that there was also a decline in terms of our performance in such area, particularly from 8,299 to 4,585. And finally, the last bullet in relation to the operational analysis, which is the station and the cluster analysis report. In that area, we actually have increased our performance from the figure of 2011-2012, which was 82,680, to 87,178. And in a nutshell, Madam Chair, in that particular performance indicator, we therefore, in conclusion, we say that we were able to achieve 55,629 operational analysis report.
Can we move to the next? Thank you.
Then I will therefore move to the final slide that has to do with the performance indicator that deals with the number of intelligence products relating to the strategic analysis report, which includes research reports and the statistical report. Madam Chair, the reflection on the screen gives a clear appropriate figures to say in our annual report for 2011-2012, we had 18 research report descriptive explanatory report based on crime statistic research in an attempt to explain crime phenomena. The third target that we put before ourselves in that particular performance indicator was 17 research reports of and 120 statistical reports. The actual achievement for 2012-2013, and it is reflecting on our report, was the 19 research that was conducted vis-a-vis the particular target that we set before us, and also an increase on our statistical reports from 120 to 132. On that basis, Madam Chair, the deviation is on 2 on research reports and 12 on statistical reports, whereby we declare in this particular performance indicator the data achieved over the decade. Thank you.
Members, before I open up questions, quick rundown of what we said last year. National Commissioner, we questioned the merging of Crime Intelligence and CSS at that time. And we questioned also the impact that it would have on service delivery. The department responded by saying that the PSS was not, as mandate was not clear. And that it believes that the merging of the two units will improve service delivery. And we were told it's the prerogative of the National Commission to merge any division at national level, if such a merger will promote service delivery. Members of the committee expressed the same concern regarding the ineffective utilization of crime intelligence officers at station level, and it's something we touched upon yesterday as well in this call, which leads to lack of crime intelligence gatherings and poor quality of information gathered. That in turn leads to ineffective crime prevention, such as xenophobic attacks, mob justice, drug trafficking, recent flare ups in gang violence, and public protests. The committee further commented on the fact that ineffective crime intelligence gathering and lack of performance have a severely negative impact on fight against crime, and the department must give urgent attention to the program. The committee noted that the weakness of crime intelligence officers were already mentioned in 2010 and wanted to know what was done since to remedy the situation. The department admitted that program 4 is not as strong as it was expected to be, and the department is aware of the challenges. The department states that the biggest challenge currently facing the program is the ineffective and often misuse of crime intelligence officers at station level and the lack of capacity at cluster level. It was further stated that crime intelligence gathering is not the sole duty of crime intelligence officers, that should be done by all police members. The committee recommended that the Department of Police should consider the inclusion of measurable targets for crime intelligence in the 2013-14 performance plan. Then, instead of that, we got secret in the ADP. Key successes noted in this program, which the department were commended, was the achievement of targets in the crime intelligence environment, those that were ready. However, a number of concerns were raised, the intelligence-driven police service. We raised that concern whether at station level crime intelligence service members were used optimally, and that if they are not used optimally, that the crime intelligence-driven policing would remain just on the books. The department stated that the crime intelligence-driven policing faces resistance from members, and use experience reported in Singapore as an example, and that it took Singapore 21 years to implement crime intelligence-driven policing. Members of the committee raised serious concerns regarding the spending on equipment and operational expenses, in particular the 37.7 million spent on maintenance and repairs of vehicles, and requested a little response from the department. Betting, similarly to the previous year's concern regarding the lack of capacity in the betting office, was expressed by the committee. The department was requested to explain the strategy put in place to address the situation. The committee also asked whether such only bet internally or whether other departments also request betting from them. The department again stated that they do not have enough capacity in betting, and the appointment of 88 betting staff members will be completed in January 2013. Additionally, the department stated that they only bet internal personnel. Measurable targets, the targets that discussed crime intelligence, considering, that's now a year later, assigning weights to the reports in order to improve the target measures. Abuse of crime intelligence vehicles, there's abuse of vehicles mostly by Secret Service and later by open account vehicles. Travel arrangements remain a problem. The committee recommends that measurable targets must be better defined in that value for money and adequate oversight is ensured. It was suggested that the operational strategic analysis reports be weighed to build quality assurance. quoting from the Police Portfolio Committee's report on the police budget vote, 2012-13, and the annual report at the end of last year. Opening up for questions, members. Honourable Ndlovu, Honourable Khoza Bala, Honourable Molebase, George, and myself.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the presenter. I just want to find out from, firstly, from the vetting point of view, is there, are you achieving your goals, as it was said before, last year? That's the first question, because vetting is very important in all departments. We come from different departments or from different stakeholders. They always say that there are backlogs on vetting. Do you have a challenge on that? If there is a challenge, how can we solve the challenge of vetting on that one? Secondly, Chairperson, there was a little bit of confusion when we talk about 2010, 2011. You see, we are post-BBCs. We didn't understand what was all about and so on. But when you kick those figures down up to the target today, you see that although the target has been achieved, but it's a slow path in achieving those targets. Is it a problem of human resource, or is it a problem of instability within the section? If that is the case, how can we assist in order to make sure that we assist the National Commissioner to achieve the goal of this? Because we don't want these people to be seen as if they are flex in the police stations and so on and so forth, but they must do the job properly. Thank you, ma'am.
I just want to add to Honourable Dorbus' first question about the confusion. My confusion is not in terms of what you said. My confusion is the fact that the year that you refer to on the site is not 2010. Mm. It's 2011-2012. That's the year after the Soccer World Cup. So I do not accept that explanation. You can't say that was because of the World Cup. That is the year of the World Cup. And then immediately also the question arises, in any case, if you can do it during the World Cup, why can't you do it on an annual basis? Is your priority not South African citizens? Honourable Pula.
Thank you. I'm quite sure in my own mind that many of the catastrophes that would be happening on really a weekly basis and such actions must be blamed on the lack of crime intelligence at a grassroots level. In Cato Manor last week, for example, SAPS drove unsuspectingly into a protesting crowd and ended up shooting their way out, shooting two young girls in the back, killing one. Now, had they known that was happening, they wouldn't have gone in there. It has turned SAPS into a reactive entity rather than a proactive entity, and lives are being lost, I believe, as a result. Now, we're sitting at the moment with Richard and Lily back in the headlines. The National Police Commissioner was quoted as saying she wanted him back. The courts have ruled that the charges must all be reinstated. It's a catastrophic mess. So please give us a full update on that particular case, on what is happening. We heard in the opening remarks that criminality in crime intelligence is being dealt with. Is there further criminality that we should know about that's being dealt with, or is that were we hearing about the myriad charges against Richard and Lily? I'm not sure there. What is the exact status at the moment? And secondly, please talk to me. You spoke about the morale in the division. From all that I've heard, is that it's at an all-time low. And yet, can we see in the papers, you claim a massive overachievement, and yet you claim an under-expenditure, 1,000 operational reports with a vacancy rate of 17%. Now, to me, that's questionable. So I need an explanation. I want to know that in light of the fact that as we go from station to station to station, there is never any sign of any intelligence presence. It's always clustered at a provincial level, and there's no one out in the field. in a situation like that, what are these reports? Tell me these reports you're claiming that you've exceeded your target. Are we talking about 20-page, 30-page analytical documents or a simple printed page account up that shows up as another report in front of us on the screen? Just explain to you exactly what you're referring to. Thank you.
Members, I want to request members also that we be fair. When the National Commission was here on the restructuring, this question around the statement that was in the newspaper, that she said she wanted to include that, was asked. And the National Commission is on record in this committee say that she has never said that, and that she does not know where that story comes from. So I do not want us to create an impression as if we did not discuss this issue before. If we surely cannot quote newspaper articles about what a person in Parliament, where it is punishable, if you like, a Parliament, with even an imprisonment sentence, we surely cannot value the newspaper article more than that was given evidence on in front of the committee. So I just want to clarify that issue. That question was asked and was answered as well. The Commissioner can respond on the rest of those issues, but I just want to clarify. I will know about this.
Your vacancy rate of 16.8%, how do you intend addressing this during the 2013-2014? My second question is on general note, is he still acting? And if he still, how long still will he be acting? Thank you.
I won't go on your mind. The person I'm going to talk to, I think now is busy in negotiation. I want to the National Commission. Madam Chair, the National Commissioner raised very important issues. The issue of acting leadership, which is one of the serious issues in this fight. The issue of criminality and apartheid. I want to say, National Commissioner, I trust you. So I trust you. But my question is the other question I'm not going to raise it, because this thing of lowering target, which is becoming, it's not only in training service, it's a trend in the police service. Lowering trends and then you claim that you've achieved the target. It's a very worrying factor. But my question is to the National Commission. With all these problems which you also mentioned on the 18th of September, that this is an ageing. How long do you think you will be able? I know it's a difficult question, but approximately how long do you think, because this is a very, very important unit in terms of fighting crime, how do you think and how long do you take to make sure that it comes back to doing what it is meant for? That's the only question I have, Madam Chair.
Anybody else before I ask mine? National Commissioner, members, we're doing two again and then we'll take another round, because I don't know about you, but I certainly do have more questions. I want to know, for how long do you see this arrangement that Crime Intelligence and Protection Services reports directly to you, for how long do you see this in this situation? And I'll explain why I'm asking that. Is it a permanent arrangement, or do you see that until you have stabilized the environment? My concern is that I can understand why you're doing it, but ideally, I don't believe it's something that should continue, because you have no buffer between that division and yourself. And what happens if there's unhappiness in that vision? There is no next person to go to other than then the minister, and then it becomes political interference in the eyes of people out there. So I am concerned about that matter, so I'm asking that question in that time. I think if there's anything that also motivates why we've said that it would be good to have a page with definitions on. This is another program where it is clear that one should have definitions. Because what is the difference between these different reports? What is the impact that you expect of these different reports? What is the purpose of it? And I would like you to take, even if you take a few minutes, to explain to us what is the analysis report, what is that, so that members also understand it. And where do you expect what to be created at station level, etc.? I do see that currently we have an increase, in fact, of crime intelligence reports from station level. Not huge, but there's an increase. Again, the question is what's the value they offer? And I hope not that your... What is happening? Did you find the I hope not that the monthly report that must go to national office or to province and from province to national office is counted at my speech. Because that would then really be bloating figures that should actually have been something else. And that is the complaint that crime intelligence officers on station level have, is that they have become the secretary, the high-level secretary for the station commander. We take the round of questions, then we will take the answers, and then we will take another round of questions. Later on, if you've got a follow-up to indicate to me on the specific question, only a follow-up, no new questions.
Chairperson, I will lead the members in terms of answering the question. The first one that was raised was around the date vetting. Are we achieving the goal? And the appointments that we promised, indeed, we did complete the appointment of the 88. We have started the training. We've already trained about a quarter of those. And they've started working, and I'd like General Mook and us to talk to that. But also to say to the members that the inward-looking vetting that is taking place is for members below SMS. The agreement we've reached in the JCPS cluster is that SMS members shall be vetted by SSA. As I speak, even those that have current functional vetting, the entire SMS are almost finalizing that. They've finalized some, and I can read chapter saying I'm included there. I need the pack with completed vetting. So the SMS will be completed, I think, in the next week or so, because we have gone into a fast-track mode, and that is for everybody, even the ones that were having current certificates. In the other areas, CI is busy, and I just want the General Mugani to quickly talk to that. As I said, the 88 that we've promised, we've appointed, and I think for how many, Mugani, you can just say there are two that didn't qualify, two or three that didn't qualify, if you could deal with those issues. And we, General Bekela, can support the training that we have started here.
Thank you.
The issue currently is pertaining to the vetting in general. Madam Chair, we actually, after we were being in the position to do the appointment of the 88 vetting officers, and they have completed the required training in relation to that, they were started to be put on the field to do their field office work. And as we speak, for 2012-2013, we actually have up to this far dealt with an application close to 6,031, and the investigation part that they have finalized was 1,884, looking into conducting an evaluation parallel to the figure of 348 and the certificates that have already been issued in relation to that 348. I therefore like to emphasize the point to say that as the previous question came as to where are we addressing the backlog. Yes, indeed, we are addressing the backlog.
the issue with regards to the development of the strategy, one of the key elements in the strategy was to ensure that we address the capacity that was the first phase that we have dealt with. And we are intending to look into the monitoring mechanism to ensure that we are actually achieving what we have intended to achieve to address the backlog. That is the kind of approach that we are busy dealing with.
She's already touched on the training. We will then move on to the other area. And I just want to say, Chairperson, the acceleration of this vetting we are giving attention to, I really would like them to even pick up their feet and be ahead with the vetting so that when we come back to give further reports, we would have good report significant numbers. The second question was around issues of human resources. Human resource instability, and particularly around issues of leadership. I have said when I gave my opening remarks to say there are issues of that we can handle, there are issues of external dependency. When the costs of the country are still ranging on particular issues, there is no way that we would be able to fill, for instance, the post of the leader until all the legal matters are concluded, and they are not only sitting in this other court, you know, the court where Judge Murphy was giving a ruling, the talks around the appeal, there are issues pending in the labor court, so it's still quite a journey towards concluding this process, and that's a major dependency. So we would be having acting arrangements for quite a while. So, but we would need to look at sustained and stable acting arrangements. So it's an area that I shall continue keeping the committee updated on as I look at the refreshing that environment and doing other things. The question of catastrophe, lack of crime intelligence, misrepresentation, Richard Nixon, moral, vacancy rate, lack of intelligence in the station, the whole host of things that most of you read about in the newspapers. Some here, some not quite here. On issues of misrepresentation, I am not able to deal with that without specifics. One thing that we've misrepresented, then I'll be able to answer that. The matter of gender inclusion, I've indicated that there are dependencies with the court. There are a lot of things that are hanging, and there are things that are beyond our control. We will use the means that is available to us to ensure that this department continues to work. It's a much larger department than any individual, so we will not allow any individual to bring the country to a standstill. So we shall use the means that is before us to ensure that crime intelligence continues to do what it's supposed to be doing. The vacancy rate, I'm sure we started talking about it already, and Lema Mulibas has also asked a question. Members will answer on that one. Sign of intelligence in the station. I'm also not quite certain, Honourable Member, what we're meaning there or what we're saying. I have already said in my opening remarks we want to strengthen and firm up and make permanent the leadership of intelligence in the station so that our offerings and our products can be improved. It's an area that we're also attending to. Remember, on the vacancy rate, you asked two questions. And I'll ask the second one on General Nogo. Can you ask General Muka to deal with the 16% vacancy rate, which we have started responding to already? Okay.
The question pertains to the 60% vacancy rate. One can clearly respond in the sense that we took cognizance of the concern that is raised, and the area with regards to the vacancy part of it. We have actually, as the National Commissioner in
previously given indication to say that he's working on a normalization and stabilization of the organization. There were certain areas or certain posts that were actually funded, and that was supposed to be in line with the establishment. And on the basis of that, as the task team was being appointed to look into the normalization and stabilization of the organization, our environment was also one of the variables that were taken into consideration and looking into, and we were able to identify which are all those critical posts that were being identified and funded that needs to be at the time. The Human Resource Committee has been established whereby they are ensuring that the vacancy is in line with the funded posts, and based on that, all the finalization in terms of those posts, the Human Resource Committee has completed. We are hoping that those posts will soon be advertised and so on.
You would remember on Tuesday we had an issue around 100% spending in this environment, given the fact that you say you've got all these vacancies. Can you give us the number of funded posts within the environment and the number of vacancies within the funded posts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Currently, the status within our environment, the granted post that we have in the division is actually as in line with the annual report. It's 8,928 as it's been stated on the annual report. Based on that, the funded post are actually in total currently, I must humbly request to say that we've got 1,601, whereby unfortunately we've put it time, the further breakdown of it, if you can reach me to make a submission to it, of different salary levels.
Sorry, I don't understand what the answer is here. I'll ask a very simple question. Not granted, not nothing. Funded, what is it that you were allowed funded, the number, how many of them are currently, let's put it simpler, what is the number of funded positions, how many staff do you currently have in crime intelligence?
The current staff that we have in the division, we've got 8,928 personnel in the division.
The funded?
The actual, what we have. Yes, it's funded. It's 8,923.
How many people do you have in the...
That's the number that I'm referring to.
But you told us you've got a 70% vacancy rate.
Yes, I'm actually speaking from the ideal, which is the 10,777, vis-a-vis the current post that are filled where there are bodies into it.
That's a wish list. The fact of the matter is, that's what we said on Tuesday. You can't say you've got vacancy rates if you have a wish list. That's a wish list. Then you've got to report and say, we believe this program is 1,000 so much and the staff, and we would be requesting for funding to establish these posts. That's a wish list. We can't report it this way because it's creating confusion all over. It's ridiculous, quite frankly. Because you're creating the impression out there as well, that part of the problem is that crime intelligence don't have all their posts full. You have all your posts full. You would like to have more staff, but so would I. But I can spit in my one hand and wish in the other one and see which hand I've got the most. I mean, there's realities that we've got to look at here. So you've got actually 100% staff rate with the flexibility of somebody dying, somebody leaving the service, etc. Now, Commissioner, I see you want responsive, but before we do, just let
Honourable Glover
add his concern.
Yeah, but Chairperson, you really covered me because I really wanted to raise our concern because I thought the general was giving us two figures. The figures that the people that are already there and the figures that they think they should be there. Now, I think that the question was very straightforward. The people that we need to know are there, not that you wished for. So that you may understand. Because
background in asking this question is that when you say you have got 16% vacancies, but you have got 100% deliverables in on all that, then the question is how can you do that? That's the question that is boggling our mind. If that's okay, you can be clear on that so that we understand that correctly. Don't talk about the other ones that are helping and so on. We'll just talk about the features that are there. Thanks.
Chairperson, I would like to say to this committee the reason why when I got into SAP, I established and set up a committee called Normalization and Stabilization. It's precisely because of the issues that are being raised here. I indicated that there are three locus points that needed to be looked into. And in terms of, I'm going to try and explain it in my way, as the BBC way. If, for instance, this committee, the chairperson said, I'd like to set up a committee that is going to be in charge of oversight of the police. Our OD, the OD of the parliament would approach her and say, what is it that you want to achieve? She would clearly mention that this is the objective, this is what we're going to achieve, this is what we, where we want to go. OD would then start saying, if those are the objectives, that's your strategy, that's where you're going, they would then say, okay, this is what you need in terms of people. You need a head, you need a secretary, you need so many people to do this, you need so many members. That's a design issue. And it talks about the ideal. The ideal cannot be on its own complete. The ideal must now come and talk to the bank of the organization. You go to your parliamentary finance, whatever, to say, okay, for us to be able to do this, this is what we require. They would then say to you that, remember, you're not the only person. As we do for you, there's another committee that is asking for this, there's another committee that is asking for this. Your ideal cannot be fully attained. What we can offer you is maybe 30 or 80% of what you are asking for. That's the normal process that needs to be followed. And then the next dot would be your personnel function in Parliament, which would say, look, ideally, in terms of our personnel establishment, overall, with all of you taken into account, you cannot exceed 1,000 people. I'm just making such an example. The problem we have, in fact, is that those 3 points, we're not talking to each other. So, as an environment like CI, once I receive my boxes and my ideal and it's assigned structure, I may, as the head of CI, say, okay, this is my structure, these are the pools that I have. Those pools, until they start talking to the person is going to say, no way, they don't fit into whatever. So the whole normalization and stabilization is to start saying, shift from the ideal, go to the real, let's look at what is sitting in the head, let's look at our establishment, and this is why I've established this process, number one. Number two, going forward, to start saying that normalization, we have an HR committee. There is no way in future anyone will be sitting with an ideal structure. Ideal structure is for you in the it's somewhere else, but we have to normalize this, and like I was saying, given the resources that we are having, and the same parameters that were given by the PFMA that are saying at most you can spend 75% of your resources on HR and 25% on other tools of trade, we have to fit within those. So this process will correct every other environment if that is existing. So part of what you are seeing is there. So the normalization and stabilization, I'm saying, get out of your idea. Let's look at what is real in terms of what you're having. Because if all he tells you about ideals, and doesn't talk to the real, it doesn't talk to our establishment, then we will keep on making this discourse in terms of numbers that you're picking up here. We are analyzing this, and I'm sure we'll be able to, you know, be reporting on real terms. But if you ask us, ideally, what you need to have, would still be able to do so. But I want a clear division of this, a Chinese board that actually says, here is what is real, here is what is ideal. One day when we're in heaven and God is there with us, we made it our idea.
I'm coming to you on the follow-up on this. Yeah, the irony is, National Commissioner, and that's a frustrating part. What
what you're now saying, this committee has been saying for years, this ivory towers within the SAPS, human resources not speaking to this, risk not speaking to training, and it irritates me to no extent that management up to now, or you now going to attain to it, have addressed this issue. Because many of these people, and I said it the other day as well to you, were there when management, when we raised this issue with management. Many of them.
Yeah, I would like some clarity in terms of the fact that that information of nearly a 16.8, nearly 17% vacancy rate is in this. This has been given to the Auditor General, who speaks to Treasury. So there's a fabricated wishes of vacant posts that doesn't exist that's now been signed off by the Auditor General. It's a direct lie to the Auditor General. So this is a huge issue. This is not just something for around the table discussion here. This is actually a fabrication that's gone to the Auditor General. And I take that in a very serious light.
I think I'll give them an opportunity to respond to it, but I think the fact is the narrative could have been better. There's no question about it. The narrative could have been better. The narrative could have said, and I find it strange that it's only in this environment that we have that problem. But the narrative could have said, ideally, we feel that we still need something.
Ideally.
Yeah. With Peter Ryder, ideally. National Commissioner?
I'm very concerned about the statement that talks about fabrication. We have no intention to fabricate anything. Our engagement with the AG is very open. They have access to everything. And I think it is a misrepresentation to use words such as fabrication, because it is nowhere in our thoughts, in our intention. We run that organization in a very transparent manner, and we are guided very clearly by prescripts of government in terms of how we are reporting. I just want to put that on record.
I do not think we can go as far as the Honourable Member has done to say that it's a fabrication. I think that is unfair, and I would ask the Member to withdraw that.
I absolutely will not. You sat here 10 minutes ago being told every single post was filled, because you yourself said, no, not the 10,000, that's a wish list. Those aren't real posts. So every single post is filled. That is exactly what we've just been told. Yet here, it's claiming a 16.8% vacancy rate. You can't say they're all full, then say there's a vacancy rate. Tell Auditor General there's a vacancy rate. How do you marry the two? I have absolutely no intention of withdrawing.
May I come in, Jefferson? I know that I'm coming in the test where the ladies are seeing. Let me deal with this in a deliberate manner. I thought I understood when I said I understood the national chairperson, or the national commissioner and yourself, when you talk about LPMs, when you talk about actually and the idea. That's what I understood. If, therefore, anything that is appearing on our paper is an ideal and has been approved as an ideal, it tends to be actual. Therefore, nobody can put anybody in jail for thinking that I'm supposed to be a prime minister tomorrow. If that person is a bunch of people. Therefore, I'm requesting that they just proceed. But what we are talking about is an ideary on actual. The actuality that we should talk about. Let's forget about the ideal at the moment. Let us talk about actuality. So that when we talk about 50% vacancy rate, on what? On actuality. Or on ideally. If it's ideally,
then you know that it's not. If it's 100% able to be paid, then you know what we're talking about. Because that's where the problem lies, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, can we continue, please? I mean, I am going to make the ruling on this issue. And the ruling is simply that you are going to submit an erratum in any case because there are mistakes. And I think there's no harm in it to clarify that issue as part of the erratum. That this vacancy rate is not an actual vacancy rate, but it is looking at the ideal figures. If you can do that, National Commissioner, I think it is important for the reader of the document to understand where it comes from. And this document is a public document. And everybody who reads it does not have the advantage of either following the proceedings of this committee or having the engagements with yourselves. And therefore, I think it is important that it do be clarified, that it is corrected in that way. Can we continue? Can we break for coffee? I don't want us to drink cold tea. So we break for tea. How much is the time? No, it's 20 past 10 already. Can we break by 20 past 2?
You're being too rude. It's very easy.
Sorry, apparently coffee is not here yet. I saw them in here and I thought it was. It's old coffee. So let's continue. Let's continue.
Agreement that I've had with them, but I just want to bring a union from them.
to talk about the yes that you were concerned about, Chairperson, to say. What does that mean and how does it talk to 2010?
Madam Chair, I think the issue of the 2010, if I remember correctly, we explained the net effect of the 2010 project as it has manifested itself during the 2011 and 2012. As the question was raised in during May when we were here, why from the actual of 24,384 during 2010-2011 vis-à-vis the actual of 49,019 during 2011-2012. And the explanation was that the FIFA project increased our focus and there was a lot of activities around those issues, hence the increase. I think when we went into planning, we looked back at the baseline for the previous baseline for the previous target, which was then 26,805. Then we increased it, eliminating the 2010 project effect on the figure, and then we arrived or we put a target of 28,145. And we also admitted that as the National Commissioner, I would like to say, I think it was a mistake on our part. We should not have taken or looked back at the previous target, but rather use the actual, which was
the National Commissioner. This is a waste of time. Okay. The point is that 2011-12, the report there is not referring to 2010. That's the point. So you can't tell us, because of 2010, we then went down because of this increase. You can't argue that when you reported on 2010 in the 2010-2011 financial year. This is the year after that. And then you had a decrease in the 2012-13. So you're not explaining our question.
Honorable Chairman, I think as I was trying to explain during our meeting here in May. We were here in May. Was it ever? My apologies. In April. It was put to us as to why the increase from 24,000 to 49. And then our reason and our explanation was this was the net effect of the manifestation of the project. And I think at that particular point in time, it was accepted. But what we wanted to...
2011-2012.
Yes.
49-12. That's 2011-12.
Not 2010. So stop speaking about 2010. That's what I'm saying. In fact, what we should be doing is go back to 2010-11 and see what did you report on 2010-11 in terms of those reports. Then we take 2011-2012, then 2012-2013. And this argument is not holding water. I think let's acknowledge that A, you should not have decreased the target. It should have been the baseline. Your performance of the previous year should be your baseline. But now we still don't have an explanation.
May I say the targets were audited? I agree with you, number one.
Commissioner, we're not questioning the target. Mm. We're not questioning the actual achievement. That's not what we're questioning. We're questioning the fact that they are saying it's because of 2010. Oh. 2010, you report on in 2010-2011 financial year. 2011 is that year. The actual work took place during that year. There might have been some run over, but not all of it.
I agree, Chairperson. Can we go look at the run over and give you a written analysis of that of that achievement? The achievement is there, but it is the reasons and drivers for the achievement that I hear are in question. We will submit those to you, Chairperson.
The target, in fact, in 2010-11 was 26,000. normal bulk of it. 11. Target was 26,000. Honourable George.
I think somebody is to give a fund, one fund to carry, now take another fund and put it to council. Without the National Commission, she answered this question very well when she said she had told them that there is no way you can argue lowering target. She said, and we agreed with you, and we got it. Now you want to go and investigate. There's nothing to be investigated.
No, honourable member. The National Commissioner is correct. They can't give us an explanation here on why there is that increase. I'm saying, yes, some of it might be run over because of the Soccer World Cup, but all of it cannot be run over. So they've got to go and look at that. Because what are we doing? We also, when we do annual reports, we're forward-looking. So what we're saying is, looking at the past 3 years, including the 2010-11, 2011-12, we need to establish a realistic baseline. That's the bottom line that we want to get to. So they need to go and do it. They don't have to report the issue back to us on it now, but they have to take that in consideration, and we will question them come budget time next year. Have you looked at it now, and what are you basing this on now? And that's the point. So the National Commissioner is correct. They've got to go and look at it. She's absolutely correct. She doesn't have to go and look at it. They must look at it and report to her on it. So can we continue other questions, please?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd have to say, indeed, Chairperson, I agree with the sentiment that says a baseline once established is a baseline for going forward. You can't go up because now you have a new place. All right. The next question was around, Chair, you raised issues around the issues that were raised by the committee around the training and the separation. Yes, indeed, I can say our short pilot has come back to confirm maybe the sentiments that the committee has. So, as an agile thinking organization, we've decided that that should not go on like that. Your question is, how long will it take to actually deal with the actioning of the separation? We have processes for consultation with legal, which are now underway. We've submitted to the FFC. So once those processes have been dealt with of consultation, we will be ready to action that process. You asked a sister question, which says, yes, you can appreciate the issues of needing to stabilize. You raised issues around the platform, which I think are here and very true. But indeed, you know, from a timing point of view, I'm not able at this point in time to give the timing in terms of the stabilization. I definitely want to stabilize, and I agree with the buffer process. So in time, once we have done those issues, Chairperson, I'm sure I would step up into that space so that there could be that buffer, if it's necessary, for a national commissioner, even though I would still be very close to the process. But the stabilization process, I'm not able to give you timing because my diagnosis in terms of the tax and the issue that I need to deal with in that environment and all these external hanging aspects that I'm not in control of would make it impossible for me to give definite time, but I'm hoping that it will not be an elongated period.
National Commissioner, just for clarity, I didn't ask your time frame. I just want to know whether you see this as a permanent arrangement or whether you see it as a temporary arrangement. And I think from your answer we can derive that you're saying it's a temporary arrangement.
Then the next question was around definition of some of these. You were saying, Ken, whilst we're looking in future to factor the definitions in our reports, just from talking, can they share what an analysis report is, a stats report is, and then where is it produced in the station, in whatever, and does this exclude the monthly reports that are, you know, sort of mandatory for everybody? So I'll ask the team to answer to us that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Madam Chair, with regards to the definition
We actually is also interested in the APP. I'll therefore start with the one that has to do with the profile. The definition actually that in the profile is being stipulated in the APP as follows. A resume of information stroke intelligence gathered on a subject to serve as an aid to the investigation officer to locate the suspect and identify him or her beyond reasonable doubt. The definition on intelligence analysis report stipulates as follows. A factual report based on evaluated information stroke intelligence which can be utilized to identify specific individuals, criminal groups, suspects or tendencies, relevant premises, contact points, and method of communication. The definition on communication analysis reports stipulated for a report based on the result of the analysis of specific identified telephone or cellular phone numbers as provided by the various communication networks were subpoenaed to do so. The communication interception report definition declares for a report based on the result of the analysis of the voice intercepted communication, intercepted text message, as well as the internet service provider telephone communication. Station and cluster crime threat analysis report defined as report compiled at station and cluster based on the spatial and time pattern of crime intelligence, metric cases, linkage analysis, and so on. This report guides station commanders on what, when, and where, and why, and who, and how of the incident of crime.
And this is an APP page number?
Annual report.
National Commissioner, I think we are, I've already established that we're all in agreement that we need to be reporting better on this. Not only in terms of target, but I think also in terms of differentiation between these, in terms of compliance by stations to this. I think it's also a question of, you know, if you look at this, I think the figure of the stations is 87,000 reports. I can't remember which report it was, but it was about 87,000. The target was 81, they achieved 87,000. Now, again, the kind of information that we would be interested in is how many of the stations contributed to that. It might be that it's just one province that are generating the majority of those. So that we were able to identify where we have the shortcomings in other provinces. And I think that's the management information that you yourself can benefit from as well. Which are the underperforming stations? What is the target that you've given stations? How many of those stations have achieved that target? Then we start looking at it from a holistic view. The way it is currently is really a bit of a problem for us. We can't interrogate what is here or not. It is really, really totally invaluable. In terms of measurement, it's very, very valuable. And I think what I'm trying to say is we're not trying to create work for you, but we do believe that that would also benefit the National Commissioner's effort to save a life is important. Okay, next round of questions. I think that was the last question, if I'm not mistaken. Next round of questions, members. Stands? Nobody? I've got a question. If nobody else wants to ask, where is my question? Here it is. Okay. But since you were slow on the go, I will take the first one if I'm not answering. Beginning of this year, when we engaged with you around the budget, out of the 7,938 posts at that step filled, only 1,019 at valid vetting, data vetting, still in, and with that I'm not saying that they were not vetted before, but their vetting have expired. Where do we stand today? How many have current vetting, up-to-date vetting? Second question, I'll ask the second question after this. Honourable Kulabana, Honourable Malabati, who else? Those two. Yeah, it ties in to a certain degree with what the chair has asked. I recall from our last meeting that the provincial head included the acting, and the acting head at that stage did not have clearance, security clearance. Can you just fill us in there? Do we sit with that same problem? I know it's a long issue to get it done, but are we still sitting with provincial head and the acting head with no security clearance?
Or outdated security clearance, because I think we must be clear that at some point did have a certificate expired, and which is serious, I'm not making it less serious than it is. Honourable Mulabati?
Thank you, Mr. Do you carry out covert operations? If you do, how many did you carry out?
Why would you?
She's sorry, they can't report it here.
Okay.
Can report that at the, are they called now, JCPS?
Okay, I'm sorry. The book of the station in Blaska, sorry, is the starter of station in Blaska, effective.
In terms of the intelligence part of it, because yesterday we had a long discussion on the station and trust, and I just want to make it clear, she's not asking that question, she's asking whether in the intelligence environment there is similar situation as with the cluster structure or not. My second question is, as well, is I want to know, sorry, I've got so many pieces of paper in front of me. God, I wish I could. Okay, that one has been answered. Yeah, can we look at the communication analysis report and the intelligence analysis reports? That's quite on there. I don't know which slide it is. There's a huge drop here. Now, you're surely not going to tell me again it's just Soccer World Cup, please. I mean, I can't even remember that we are Soccer World Cup. That's what I'm going to say, Cup. Or Sri Lanka turning to South Africa, or whatever the case may be. But this is concerning. Also, they were in the past, and I'm not interested in what you cannot disclose to us. I'm interested in the management there. In the past, there were serious concerns about your communication analysis reports, your interception reports, where, for instance, and the previous national commissioner is on the record saying that his number was left in between. How have you tightened up that situation? Sorry? I don't care who answers, and I just want it to be answered. Because the fact of the matter is, it is a matter of concern. There are strict legislation that governs this. And if the department is abusing it for whatever reason, it becomes a big problem. Because it does open every single citizen of the country to that abuse. So how did you tighten up that?
Let me ask them to deal with the setting, the expired that they had to report to, the 1,900 and whatever, how far they've gone in terms of the expired setting.
With regards to, in particular, the expired setting, Madam Chair, what we have done, as I alluded earlier, that we are working on a monitoring mechanism, especially within the environment of how we represent. All the expired of our membership, we ensure that there is an application that were given for them to be able to...
Stopping you now because I want to, I want not time waste, please. The question was very, very specific. You had 1,019 that were vetted at April. Where do we stand currently? What is the number? How many are still outstanding of your own stock?
Okay. We currently sending, whereby we are doing the process in terms of finalization, we are sending on 3,491 in process, the investigation part of it.
So the fact is we're still standing at 2019 that has got bad vetting.
1,146 has increased that are currently active and
1,146. I mean, come on. At this rate we're going to finalize all of them.
My great grandchildren.
Yeah.
I think we have a chair.
When the national, when Honorable Kula Bonas' great grandchildren is the national commissioner. It's going to become a family business. That's not good enough to say, I hope not. What are you doing about it?
The enhancement part of it, as we have indicated, Madam Chair, that the filling of those posts that we have, that's our ultimate objective, to ensure that the finalization thereof takes place. We are, as you have indicated, to say that as they are in process, especially due to the fact that the number might reflect very limited, and as we have indicated, we have already capacitated our environment into 88 thereof, and therefore they are busy with that sort of training to ensure that it's been completed.
You know, when such starts answering the question, which is a number question, by using words, then you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know you're in trouble. Because the fact of the matter is, ma'am, you're also supposed to be doing betting other than just your own staff. You've also got the record stuff to look at. So I'm not convinced by what I'm hearing. I'm honestly, and I'm seriously concerned. And we suggested last time to you, I think the suggestion came from the Honourable Laws. Why don't you ask some of the other agencies to assist you, at least with your own crime intelligence agent, that we can get it on date? You know what I don't understand is the same thing that we had a few years ago, Commissioner Skidmore will remember, when there were no management of when rental contracts were coming to an end, building rental contracts. And you had the situation where frequently people were put out of police stations because the train was not paid and the contract came to an end. Then we've got the same thing. Early warning system. 6 months' time, this person's vetting is going to expire and let's start the process. Why are we waiting for it to expire? It should not happen.
The vetting issue is a very serious challenge, not just for us. And the
We heard that in April. And we know that. We're very aware that intelligence also have a problem around this. We're very aware of it. We know that all departments are complaining about the fact that there's a problem. So let's focus on such, please. Let's focus on such.
And this is where we have to say, you just got me today. I am exploring other avenues. Like SARS, because I've looked at how SARS has mitigated this problem. I've sat with them, I've looked at how they're doing their things, and I'm hoping that we can bring those fast-track processes that they've adopted, because we've seen them work. So I was just trying to say to you, Chairperson, we are exploring, we're not just folding our hands and say we'll follow this organic process that we've had. We're looking at other innovative avenues that will help us accelerate the process. That's what I was trying to say, Chairperson.
National Commissioner, my concern is, again, you have to do it. Why are you doing it? Where are the people who are responsible for this to do this? We've got it. I like the fear of speech that the Honourable George have used earlier. You keep on putting things onto yourself, taking responsibility, and we're not blaming you. The point is, these people are getting paid huge salaries to do a job. And there should be consequences for the fact that we are in this situation. Even if, not even disputing the fact that we have a problem in this environment. We all know that.
We all know we've got a leadership problem there. But surely you can't take the responsibility for everything that's happening.
President, when you say, I can't be that, when you say, when I report here, I report about the efforts that we're taking as management. I'm not reporting about the other person. I can't. Alone. I'm having hands and feet, and these are the men and women that are sitting around here. All I'm doing is to give guidance, to give focus, to pinpoint areas where we need to do other things. Perhaps if it could be a decision, that's it.
I hear you. I appreciate what you said. But quite frankly, I don't necessarily believe you. Because the fact of the matter is, even the fact that you have initiated to SARS, with SARS, for me, is a problem. Because they should have been aware, here is the government department that has a success. Why don't we listen and speak to them and listen to them? I'm talking to the manager, I'm not talking to you now, National Commissioner, I don't even want to respond to you. I don't even want you to respond to this. It's time for this management. Every single one, right from Tuesday, has been in front of the committee. For every single person in management to start earning their salaries. And to start doing the job that they've been appointed for. And National Commissioner, if it's not happening, fire them. Fire them. No, if it's not happening, fire them. Let's not start moving the Titanic deck chairs. I mean, really. We can't have a situation where it continuously needs to be intervened at another, by somebody else on management or by the National Commissioner because the primary responsible person is not doing their work. It can't be. It's time that every single one take up that one role responsibility they have. If it starts at national level, we will then see it going down and we will have a situation where the station commander is actually taking up his or her responsibility and doing their job. Please. No way. Any other outstanding questions?
There was the issue around the cluster station role of intelligence. Intelligence is structured like DPCI. It's a metric situation where you have a solid line going to national with a dotted line going to the province. It's an area that we're also looking into, Chairperson, to ensure that there's consistency and standardization. There are areas that are working very well in terms of the metric arrangement. There are areas that are not working well. So we need to look at those provinces where, and those clusters and stations where this is ailing and deal with it so that it is understood for them because the number of functions is the metric by nature. And it is important for us as such to embrace that structural arrangement and to make it work. So it's also an area where I'm looking for human resources to actually ensure that their cultures were understood, were ingrained across diverse areas, whether it's GPCI, whether it's intelligence, whether it's statistics reporting or research issues, those type of issues have to be taken into account so that we can be able to smooth their functioning within the organization. So HR may be assisting a lot in this space. The next one was around communication analysis, Chairperson. You asked a number of issues there, communication analysis, intelligence analysis reports, and then I will finish off with delegations. Let me ask General Mutan to deal with this communication analysis reports that have declined. What happened there? What are the issues? Because and then the intelligence analysis reports, I'll ask them to talk to that.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Madam Chair, I will actually give an indication to say that in the area where there was a decline from the previous financial year in terms of the intelligence analysis report, we have actually some cognizance of that to say, as we are receiving from the investigation officer the request in terms of the intelligence analysis report. The outcome of the decline, Madam Chair, was basically due to the request that the investigating officers have actually made a submission to us pertaining to that in that particular financial year, whereby we have dealt with it within the division in accordance to, as we have stipulated in the definition thereof, as far as the power to do with the analysis. That's what led to the decline thereof.
Look at what you've said now, whether it is good or bad.
Madam Chair, due to the fact that there is a decline, I will faithfully and honestly admit that.
Crimes don't go.
You predicted the Honourable Ms. Mulaneki also assisting you, so.
We actually thankfully one will say that we are going to change, that it's bad, simple as that.
I'm afraid I think I have the same look on my face that you did. Do I interpret what was said to us that fewer requests are being made? From those, that tells me that actually the rest of the steps aren't interested in crime and service. They don't trust you anymore. They don't need you.
I think that's why I ask interpret that, and she's done to some extent, she hasn't done it fully. You add a burden, an administrative burden, that's the result you're going to get. And that's, I think, part of the problem as well. But you can respond to the member's question.
Well, actually,
I'm you want to respond to
the question? Yeah. For us, it's a seat. Crime intelligence is very crucial. We must make it work, and it's got to work. And I think the sentiment, Chairperson, even coming from the committee, unequivocally like that from other management, crime intelligence must work. It is non-negotiable. It is a given, and crime intelligence can work.
God bless you.
There was a question that was asked, Chairperson, that I might go back to on the vetting of the provincial heads. I'd like them to prepare a response to that. The other one was on the acting head of intelligence. On the acting head of intelligence, he had a vetting which has expired. They are about to complete his one with the other seven, but he had an active certificate. So the expired one is being reviewed, Chairperson.
Just some clarity on this, because when they were in April, they told us that it does not have a current rating.
That's the one that is being reviewed.
So it's reviewed, so there's no, it hasn't been finalized.
Yes.
Sorry, just
and provincially?
The provincial head will ask the member to talk to it.
Madam Chair, with regard to the identification of the provincial heads, out of the nine acting provincial heads currently that we have, no, provincial heads, yes, my apology. No.
The one said yes, the other one said no. Can you meet each other and find it out
when? We want them.
Not like iPad.
No. I would define iPad, please. I would define iPad.
Because they're 40.
Madam Chair, on the figures that we currently have with regards to this, of the total of the nine in the province that we have, four provinces, they are added. The other, they are still in the process for the finalization thereof. However, as the National Commissioner has alluded to say that all senior managers here came up with a different strategic approach in addressing it to ensure that it's been outsourced out of the organization to the other, that will form part of the project plan that we have actually came up with.
Bukulubana, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah. I'm afraid I now have two. The first one, I understand that the acting head had the certificate that had expired. That was when we last met. Could I know when that certificate did expire? How long has it been since this person actually had security clearance as the head of crime intelligence? We have the question I don't think was answered. Four of them are acting heads. So we have a
question. Eight of them are acting heads. One is not an acting head permanently. Four of their clearances are active, so it's a valid clearance. Five are still outstanding.
Five outstanding. Thank you.
The same details of the old whatever I have which
be back for tea, and then when we come back, I'll summarize, and there's one or two more questions, I'll summarize, and we'll move over to protection services so that we can start wrapping up. It is 11 o'clock, and we'll be back at 11:15, please.
Thank you. Okay. But
Can we take up each other? We can stop here. Let's continue. Are there any outstanding questions somebody wants still to ask? Hopefully not, because we still have protection services to deal with. Can I then summarize in terms of intelligence? National Commissioner, I think that the main thing is that we want to see smarter targets for this environment, more measurable targets that can be used to really evaluate what is happening in the environment. And then, as I've indicated, the committee does not share the view of school of honor that this was done on purpose, but we would request that in the rotten that's got to come to Parliament, that the issue also be included just to clarify it in the narrative in terms of the vacancies that they are referring to there. Furthermore, because of the slow pace of vetting and the outstanding relevant security clearances, we urge the department to do everything possible to make sure that this gets done immediately. I actually just going to interrupt myself for a second. Is there operational consequence if somebody does not have a valid security clearance?
Chairman, I'm going to answer it in two ways.
Yes.
The first one is that the lack of agency and the lack of protracted focus by management on this matter as accounting officer, I actually put some rider into that to say, even though there's a requirement, because it was badly managed, I do have to give the benefit of doubt to the members. The sanction would come when vetting is denied. If it is denied, Chairperson, there is definite intervention, because it is crucial for those people to have that. For now, rightfully or wrongfully, I think there is also an influence by management not having focused on that, knowing that that is a very important exercise. You would agree that when you push just lastly to say push, appoint people, it's now that we're giving traction to that process. And I'm wanting to be fair to ensure that we don't prejudge. We do the work that we're supposed to do in management. And going forward, there'll definitely be sanctions on both sides, Jackson.
We take note of that. And then if I can continue on that one. Because of the slow pace of this vetting, committee would like a bi-monthly report on the progress made on this backlog of vetting. So we want to know every second month how many new people to have cleared in terms of security clearance in this regard. National Commissioner, it's something that I should say yesterday, but it's relevant to all the different sections of presentations as well. And I know we're all going to deal with protection services. But if you look at the presentation that was given to us, if you can look at forensic science and FSL environment, they've got a specific section in the presentation where they say feedback on issues raised by the committee. We can do the same thing. It would make it easier for all of us. It would save a lot of time, et cetera, et cetera. But it would also focus
the committee as well as the department and what needs to them. So that's just a general comment in terms of that. That brings us to the end of crime intelligence. We will now move over to protection services and we can immediately start with the presentation. Later on, I am going to ask the Honourable Molagashi to come in and just chair for 2 or 3 minutes, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I shall ask him Dr. Chairperson to do what he normally does with the introduction of our program, after which the General Mukhtar will continue with the actual performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. When we get to paragraph 5, the last program in the Vat Police, one would immediately see that the purpose of this program is to provide for protection security services to all identified dignitaries and government interests. The strategic objective is to minimize security violations by protecting foreign and local prominent people and securing strategic interests. The protection security services comprises of the following sub-programs. There's a VIP protection service. There's a static and mobile security. Then there's the government security regulator, and I think one has been left out, and also operational support. Those are the 4 sub-programs in this regard. If we now go to the figures, one would immediately see that the first one is VIP protection services, and the budget, the allocation there was 694 million, and the expenditure was 748 million, so there was some overs in that regard, 7.7%, under 7.7% expenditure. The reason being, or main reason being, VIP protection at Mangaung, centenary celebrations in various provinces, increase in the vehicle fleet, increase in foreign visits, increase in personnel for presidential protection due to threat analysis and so forth. In terms of the static and mobile security, had an under expenditure reflecting 93.3%, but there was an interaction between static and mobile security and the government security regulator. It is understood that due to the fact that the structure was changed in the financial year, the K9 was allocated or linked to the sub-program, and the vehicles were purchased there. So because government security regulator and static and mobile security service are very closely related in certain aspects, vehicles were purchased under one, and actually also related to the other, or should have been vested under the other one. So in terms of that, it was the main reason. If we get operational support, one would see an under-expenditure. The under-expenditure is because of the support element of that operational support for the Presidential Protection Unit, not the VIP Protection. The Presidential Protection Unit was also moved to Sub-Program 1, VIP Protection Services. All in all, a very high expenditure level of 99.4% of the 1.705 billion was expended. So the variance was actually marginal in terms of the total program, and this in essence reflecting the budget versus the actual expenditure in this regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Krishna. I will therefore proceed with regard to Program 5, Protection and Security Services, such as the performance indicators there. Firstly, Madam Chair, I'll start with a sub-program that deals with the VIP protection. The performance indicator stipulates as follows: that percentage of security provided in relation to the security region. The actual achievement of 2011-2012 gives a reflection to say that 99.99% protection provided, whereby there was a movement of 5,584 with only one security breach. We therefore moved to the plan for 2012-2013. Our approach has changed in relation to say it is expected of us that there should not be any security breach. Therefore, on the basis of that approach that we came up with, therefore the plan target was on 100% protection provided without security breach. The actual achievement of 2012-2013, we can solemnly give you the figure to say 100% movement took place without a single security breach protection provided. And on that basis, we have actually achieved our target. We therefore cross to the next sub-program, which is static and mobile security. The performance indicator in this area, Madam Chair, is the percentage of security provided in relation to a security breach. And in this area, the actual achievement for 2011-2013 was 99.9% protection provided, whereby there was 93,344 protection operation with three security breach. We therefore, as I alluded also in the previous one, we actually decided to take an approach that we need to leave no bridges at all. We derived to the plan target of 2012-2013, whereby we stipulated that it must be 100 protection provided without a security breach. The actual achievements for 2012-2013, Madam, I will start giving an indication that indeed, in this particular era, we were only at 99.9% protection operation with six security breaches, protection provided by Protection and Security Service, and we had 100 protection provided by Presidential Protection Service. The deviation thereof is actually six breaches that had occurred for the duration of 2012-2013, and on that basis, Madam Chair, we bring to attention that we are unable to achieve our target in that area. To the next sub-program, which is the Government Security Regulator, the performance indicator thereof stipulates the percentage of national key points and strategic installation audited and evaluated. The actual achievement for 2011-2012 to work on the percentage of 61%, which equivalent to the raw figure of 128 from a total of 227 identified strategic installation audited. We therefore came up with a plan for 2012-2013 whereby we give an indication that it will work on a 50% strategic installation audited to the raw figure of 124 from a total of 248. The outcome there in terms of our performance, we have actually achieved our targets 2012-2013 by 61.2% installation audited to the raw figure of 127 from the 248. The deviation, and we therefore commend to say target was achieved. Below thereof, we have the area that had to do with the national key point, whereby we have in 2011-2012, we have 98% with raw figure of 171 from a total of 175 national key points evaluated. The target that was set for financial year 2012-2013, we derived 100% national key points evaluated to the raw figure of 182. 96.2% of national key points thereof were evaluated. Six national key points, Madam Chair, were not evaluated, and on that basis, we did not actually reach the target as it's being expected. That leads us to the end of our sub-programs and indicators.
Members, I'm just quickly reminding us about what our issues were last year, the use of blue light convoys, the training of VIP protectors, the members question the quality of training received by VIP protectors, for example, the excessive driving at excessive speed, and whether a monitoring system is in place to ensure that privilege is used responsibly. The department notes concerns raised by members regarding the possible increase in litigation payouts, and noted that attention will be given. B-R-R achievements that the committee recommended department on was the chief of the sub-program government security regulator. Number of concerns were raised, code of conduct,
sometimes disrespectful comment was played by members at security points. The partner said that there's internal system place for complaints and encourage members to make use of such issues. Increase of public complaints against VIP protectors. Committee raised concern regarding the increase of public complaints regarding the disrespectful conduct of VIP protectors while driving. Department indicated the training of VIP protectors has been under review to sensitize protectors on acknowledgement of other road users. Recently, security measures to ask where planning operation procedures are in place to govern action taken by VIP protectors in our county in volatile situations. As in the case of MEC and Mayor's vehicles being stolen in the Northern Cape, department stated these are in place and strict adherence within the Swift Mayor. Committee did not make any distinct recommendations for the financial year. However, committee raised the department should consider the relevant tier career partners for members employed in the Protection Security Service Program, especially those members that static security points due to upper mobility for these members. Members, questions? Honourable Pulawanda, Honourable and Honourable Lebatsi, myself. And can I ask members to keep the questions short and to the point? Because there are too many members who have already indicated to be in the got to leave or fly. And if you want to leave for flight, keep your questions short, please.
Thanks, Chair. 2 years ago, the VIP protection unit was a major issue, 2 years, 3 years, with attacks on civilians. And then it died down and seemed acceptable for a while, but recently there seems to be an upsurge again. Certainly the husband of one of our MPs was in their way, and his only option was to actually drive off a cliff. He called into a petrol station, they hauled him out, beat him up, and yesterday they were all sentenced in court for assault. So those kinds of issues are on up ground. There was a civilian shot at in Durban this week as well, didn't get out of the way. How many such attacks have been recorded this year, for example, in relation to the same number the previous year? This is literal attacks or shootings at civilians, a big issue in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. Secondly, there were 6 security breaches. Please give us an indication what they were, and especially in the light of the terrorist attacks on the continent, what level of danger did these breaches represent? We just need to see the head of the Reserve Bank kidnapped, or a minister breaking at a national key point. These are major concerns, please.
Thank you very much. Mine is on clean night. What are the chances of, how should I put it? When you visit the police station, find that there is one K9 unit for a very vast area and located very, very far from police station. What are the chances of improving this area? Thank you.
Jefferson, I want to piggyback on the security bridges. Does the security bridges occur when they are changing of shifts? If they are, why are the challenges? Are the challenges in the rotation of chiefs, because that's where most of the security breaches happens, are there, or is it deliberate, or is it done in a manner that when the chief changes, people can do whatever they want? Because when we're talking about security breaches, anything can happen. Thank you, Chelsea.
Honourable
Julia.
Second Chairperson, still on the issue of the non-addict target, mine is with regard to the 4 national key points that were not evaluated due to external factors. What applies to maybe the points to share with us is those external factors. Which are those external factors so that we don't sit here with assumptions. And the other question that relates to, I believe, challenges grows or develops an institution or even a person. because you look there and say, how did I go wrong and how do I move forward? What I miss in both presentations are the challenges that they come across and how do they mitigate those challenges. I would appreciate if they can share with us the challenges that they come across in their program. Thanks.
Is there any other
members?
Nobody else. I'm going to put all my questions now so that we can get a wrap down of these things. Also, in terms of the six national key points that were not evaluated, page 147, we give the explanation there, but that explanation says absolutely nothing. Can you go into detail why it wasn't done? Then, secondly, do we evaluate the security breaches for future planning? You know, during the winter, it was Wednesday cabinet meeting. I came in the morning, it was raining. A parliament gates were open. A whole of cabinet was, I entered at finance. A lot of cabinet vehicles were there, they were coming in and out. These kinds of breaches that should be looked at as well. And I can assure you, I've reported them. It's not going to be part of your report. Very much sure it's not going to be part of it. But are they validated for future planning? Somewhere in line to what some of the members have been asking is what percentage of VIP security makes up part of the disciplinary process? Have you done an analysis on this? On how many disciplinary cases came from within the VIP protection unit, what type of offences and what were the sanctions that were given to them? Commissioner Schutte, in the same vein, is it possible for you to tell us, and if we can't give it to us, how that's acceptable, we will then get it in writing, but is it possible to give us an indication of the percentage of litigations that can be attributed to the idea of the VIP protection unit? I again want to emphasize the issue that we raised last year in terms of it's not necessarily only upward mobility, it's mobility for the people in static protection. Even if it's just moving to other environments. You know, at Farnham there are people who've been guarding these guys down here for 10, 15 years, and it's just not fair. It's just not fair. And I still believe that in itself becomes a security threat. You've got somebody who's been sitting there for 14 years. The majority of my complaints that I'm dealing with currently from police officers are police officers in Parliament who've been guarding Parliament forever and a day and are not moving out of this environment to other policing situations. And I really think we need to look at it. I'm using Parliament as an example, but it's also in other static areas as well. Okay, can we get responses to those?
Shall I start at according to the litigation?
Just sorry, I forgot one thing. There's also a complaint about overtime not being paid.
Question 9 and 10. Which deals with contribution of VIP to disciplinary for us to be the certificates as well as the litigation, we will submit that in writing. The first question was around attacks on civilians. Some examples were given by the Honourable Member and some of the court issues that she mentioned. Let me ask the environment to talk to this issue. Clinton, is that you or Observer? Or you? Both. Okay. Lee, and then they will bring it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner, Madam Chair, in particular to the issue with regards to the complaint by the public in terms of that, we have actually developed some sort of like a database kind of, as we receive it from various angles, that it's maybe coming out of the presidency side, that it's becoming
from the national inspectorate side to say that the public are actually raising this following concern pertaining to our behavior aspect of our members. We took cognizance of that. We do make sure that we do the compilation of that. We try to ensure that we identify who is the actual protector, waiting and looking to the merits and the content thereof, and we are ensuring that, as it has to do with the behavior, disciplinary cases are being conducted to our members in that particular way.
Brigadier Cavani and Brigadier Wilson, may I ask you also just to talk a little bit to that?
National Commissioner, Madam Chair, also just to reflect in terms of the incidents, because those will be classified in terms of incidents that would happen, which talks to the environment of the vehicle protection services. Now, what we have in terms of, in terms of the stats for this accounting, period in terms of 2013-2014, we don't have the statistics which would reflect in terms of what has been reported. It means we don't have an incident that is reported. But however, one can also indicate that the process that we have is that if incident happens outside any province, then it means the station, it means it could be reported to the station. From the station, then, because we have then what we call the incident management center, where we control all the operations. If, for an example, it would be any movement of any vehicle, it means whatever incident that would happen, it would report it to the station and also to the incident management. Then we have statistics or stats that would reflect in terms of that. Then if it's it's a disciplinary matter, then it means we would have the disciplinary process that has to unfold. And then if it's a criminal, then same applies, because it can be both criminal and also departmental.
Thank you. You said it's 2013-14. I hope you were, that was a mistake. But how is it possible that you don't have any statistics on that?
I know previously when we've had incidents, for example, they would say, two people got over the perimeter to face the Cooper, or this happened, that happened. How is it suddenly, I heard the word classified, I'm a bit confused.
I was talking about something else
there. National Commissioner. Once again, Madam Chair, I think there has to be a distinction between the national key point, because remember, there is a process of reporting within the national key point. And then in terms of the members of the VAP, because remember, we report in terms of the deliverables which are in the EPP. Now, in terms of the national key point, those ones are classified, we would have the reports. But if then we should have those statistics, then it means we have to list all those incidents. Because remember, we classify them in terms of incidents, and we classify them second in terms of security breaches. So those are two processes. But that information, if we have to focus within the national key point, then we can be able to list all those incidents and security breaches, and also within the environment of the VAT protection. So it means if there's any incident or security breach that has been reported, then it means we would have that information. But as of now, we don't have those stats. But if we have to submit, then it means we can be able to submit.
It's not talking about it's classified as secret. It says it's classified this way, it's classified that way. That's what it's saying. And but you can hear what I don't understand. You say there are security breaches there. Talk about them. Because okay, previously, for instance, I remember 1 year the security breach was at the Minister of Police's house when the protector stole his laptop.
No, I think in terms of the six, because I thought that we're referring to incident of shooting off a civilian. That's why this is what we're answering. Because now in terms of security breach, the six that we're talking about, we can account because we have...
I also thought that's what you were asking, so the Honourable Member's question confused me. That's the next question you get to. But speak about that, you say you can't give it to us, but we've asked that be given, and I thought in that this was actually unnecessary to refer to it again, because you indicated that you will have to give that to us in writing. I'm talking about the disciplinary and the litigation. So you were actually not had to speak about it again. So go to the next one, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Then
the Commissioner has already introduced that question to you, so you can continue to the next.
thanks, Madam Chair. The six security breaches that were, indicated as follows. One is in the Western Cape in Parliament, which was the trespassing within the Parliament. And then also the second one was the housebreaking and theft within the NCOP building. And then the following one happened in Gauteng province, which was the housebreaking and theft at the residence of the minister. And then the second one, also in Gauteng, it was the housebreaking and theft within the residence. And then the third one also within Gauteng, which is the same housebreaking within the Pretoria Water Troop area. And then the sixth one, which is the last, it happened in Northern Cape. But what one can also indicate, because also in all those six, security breaches, we have also two processes. It's a departmental, which the departmental were finalized in all those six, where we evaluate and we look at exactly what was, because we classify, if an incident happens, it's classified as an incident. Then when we look at the report, the factual report, then we're able to say, this is a security breach, which then we take steps in terms of those members that were deployed. Then it means a departmental is done. Then the second part is the criminal part of it, because it's a theft, whether it's a resident or at a house, then it means we have to open a case. Then all those cases have been opened, which are still ongoing in terms of a detection, so that then we can be able to, it can only be closed when there's a detection in terms of arrest, where we can know that, we have met, whether because we have to be able to take, for example, fingerprints and what have you. Then after we're able to link, then we'll be able to close that. So those are the six security breaches that we are accountable for.
Sure, if I may just say to that, when I was discussing with the team, one of the issues that they raised was also the responsibility that the people that are being protected should play, switching on their alarm and all those type of issues, because a lot of security installations are made there, and the members do not switch the alarms. The people that are in the front may well need those things, but we engage and we give feedback in terms of those to the people that are being protected, so that there is some level of assistance in terms of what is taking place over and above the issues that have been raised.
Can we get slide 157 on the start on the street? There they are. And there are the what has been taken. National Commissioner, it would be interesting for somebody to speak to the Deputy Minister of Sport on the breaking in his house and experience with the VIP status. It would be very interesting, as in terms of evaluating what is happening. So there you have the double mental steps that were taken, the criminal case opened, etc., etc. Okay. Continue, please. The other outstanding question?
Next question has to do with the K-9 unit, and I'd like to allow Solitude. I think this one.
Before you do,
is
there
any
question you wanted to say something?
Because I mean, I would find one that it will come.
Okay.
Yeah. Chairman, thank you. I think, Chairman, this environment is a client to visible politics, because that is the domain of the K9 unit. Now, within visible policing, we have the strategic deployment of all the K9 units. The first thing, the deployment of the it's a rapid deployment that can take place at any time as the demand arises. But the status that before they undertake any exercise, they put forth the request in terms of the demand, and the deployment becomes proactive. The question raised by the honorable member can also be addressed by increasing capacity within the same unit. But whenever we deploy the dogs, we also do the analysis to check what type of dog is commonly needed in a specific area. And we also then use that to check whether the unit in question can be able to service that particular area. And if we have to go beyond that, then we resort to feasibility study that will also link with the data process. Thank you, Chairperson.
I knew it was falling under this book, but I want to slip in two questions under this. That's why I allowed them to ask that question. First of all, I don't understand what you've explained, Commissioner Sitoli. You say it's a rapid response, but you also say that what I put in the request. Now, knowing such, putting in the request and then rapid, you can't use the two in the same sentence. There's no question about it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, the National Commission, and this is for me quite a serious issue, is the, if we look at the increase and our struggle in dealing with sexual violence and dealing with rape, something that I think I've raised 3 or 4 years back, also in the questions, why are we not using the K9 unit to track rapists, especially if we are called out to the scene? Especially if we're called out to the scene, the scene is going to be there. The tracking should be possible with that dog at that point in time. And if I look at our informal settlements, it's like your only way of immediate response at that time, which raises the question whether we shouldn't start to look more strategically at our K9 units, and that the centralizing of the K9 units might not always be the answer. We might have to look at I can imagine if Commissioner Lamu can have access to, for instance, K9 dogs immediately at a station in Khayelitsha, when something like this happened, that there would be an effect to this. I'm pretty sure there would be. Unless I'm totally misunderstanding it. And I'm not talking about the drug dogs and the things that you use for that. That we understand. But specifically given our challenges with sexual rape cases, why are we not considering this?
Yes.
Cheaper than the police officer, sometimes more reliable as well. And it's loyal. And it's not open to corruption.
Citizen, I think we take the advice. It's a good advice. We look into the particular strategy. Thank you.
The rapid versus the allocation.
Okay. I think firstly the rapid will also start talking to what the chairperson raised. Why are we not using the K9 unit to check criminals who are committed like rape? We also use them for activation. Whenever we need them, we put them in such a way that we can deploy them immediately. But I was talking on the case of PSS, because PSS, they're using the dogs for specific reasons, for the shooting and the other. They indicate we got this particular event and we would need so much dogs, and then we deploy them proactively. But in case anything happens in the event, we've got standby K9 units that we can also deploy immediately and then to assist that particular process. Thank you, Jennifer.
We can continue.
Thank you, Chair. The next question was around a lot of the security breaches a result of the change of shift, and if that be the case, what are the mitigation interventions? And then we can go to the next one that deals with, maybe deal with that one because there's a twin question that follows.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Just the security breaches, because we get to get expert reports that have indicated that we have the incident management center at a provincial level and also at national. And whenever the incident, like the one that happened in Parliament, now, what we then analyze, then we discover that, no, it doesn't really happen within a shift, you know, changing of shifts. It happens, for example, the one that happened in Parliament, it was during the day. At around 1500 hours, which in any way we changed the shift, it could be 1600 hours, you know, because it, is taught for our shift. So I think it would be safe to say that, you know, when we analyze most, it would be just when we have deployed, after we have changed, you know, the shifts, and it's when they happen. But I think it's also important to take note of what the National Commissioner said. I think among the problems that we have in terms of the security breaches, because apart from the fact that, you know, in some residents, because we have residents who have offices like the legislature and also the parliament. Now, you'll find that in terms of security, physical security infrastructure, in some of those facilities we don't have. Now, what we've done, I think, within, you know, the division is to engage, because remember, the public works is the department that does the implementation after we've done the security evaluation of each and every facility that we protect, whether it might be a resident, whether it's the office. So this is what we've put in place, so that then we can further engage to say that, you know, we should have, for an example, we have a standard that this is the standard of a resident and of any VIP that we protect in terms of security measures that have to be put in place.
Chairperson, there is a three-pronged question around the key points. The first one was, we spoke of external factors for not evaluating key points. What are those? And then with that, what are the challenges that are aligned to the whole issue of evaluation of key points? The next one is, why were others not evaluated?
And on the reasons that you've given there on this one.
May I kindly have the previous slides where the ones that actually give a reflection in terms of yes. Madam Chair, the reflection of the ones that were not even achieved, whereby we have given a we have stipulated that one national key point, the reason why it was not being evaluated was because it was declassified to the two other national key points due to the non-compliance. In particular, Madam Chair, we dealt with one internal measure where a member was expected to do the conducting of the evaluation, and due to the fact that there was non-compliance in that, there was a departmental step that was being taken against the member. The other ones that had to do with the external factors. One, Madam Chair, it had to do by that time in terms of the annual plan for the evaluation thereof. Particular legislature, they were doing the renovation in that particular legislation. That's the reason why was led to us not being in the position to do the evaluation during that period. The other three remaining, Madam Chair, that lead, you know, the other three remaining that led to the reason of why it was actually not and being the external factor. One was taken to cognizance that for us to be able to conduct an evaluation, it is expected that the owner, and that one was the private entity, a resident, we need to make sure that before we can do the evaluation, we need to notify the owner his availability for us to conduct it. And that was the reason because of the intense schedule that was on the owner in particular. Thank you.
Can we use that? It's not.
Then, as we continue, can I just ask a general and we wanted to say something about the cadence? So, shall I allow you to comment?
Shoot my suggestion out of room.
Good morning. The issue of our canine unit. When it comes to biological fluids, that includes the right case of the so we do have the dogs, a lot of the capacity is not that big, and it's been utilized in different provinces to follow up the scene of any rape cases.
The point that I've been making is that it's not used often enough, that we need to look at, especially in your rural areas and your informal settlements where it might be the only way to reach somebody. And I really think, you know, some women groups have also been raising this issue, that why can't we have more dogs do it? I think even in Stockton we would have the same thing. And I'm hoping as well that while we're talking on this issue, that the problem that we had a few years back around the maintenance of the canine units have now been resolved.
Chairperson, the next one that comes is around the Jubilee evaluator of the breaches for management information for continuous improvement and for future planning. I will request both Brigadier Stamani and Brigadier Flusser to respond to this.
International Commissioner, Madam Chairperson. In terms of doing the evaluation, yes, indeed, we do the evaluation of the security breaches. Now, the process that we do is that when the security breach would occur, as I've indicated, that you know, it's reported at the Provincial Incident Management Center, then it's related to the national. And then from national, because we have then the section that specifically deals with static specifically, then it means then they get to analyze and evaluate and look at what were the, you know, the challenges in terms of what were the gaps in terms of that security breach. Then if, for an example, we have to then intervene, I think the typical you know, example would be the Northern Cape legislature. We've seen that Northern Cape, there was the previous, I guess, year, we had a financial year, we had a similar, you know, security breach. Then we had to send unannounced visits, was from head office, then we were able, you know, to intervene strategically where we can send a team to do an unannounced inspection to the facility. So I guess this is what we normally do, and over and above that, then when we say that it's a particular province, there is a rise in terms of security breaches, and quarterly, then it means the provincial commanders, then they're called for, you know, for a seminar or a workshop where we're able to deal with all the non-performance within the environment. So it means that, you know, quarterly, then we're able to call them. Once also we do the quarterly inspection to the provinces in terms of, you know, the, you know, the implementation and the security breaches.
Thank you, Madam Commissioner. Madam Chair, we do review the security breaches. Before we can invoke the disciplinary regulation, we need to find the root causes. That's to say, where was the fault? And if it was on the management side, what are the gaps that are there? I can surely say at present moment that we have already come up with a working document for command and control to say, if you're a commander, what is expected of you? As much as the SOP is there, but on a daily basis, how do we rationalize that? How do we make it work for the command and control? Because you find that the commander is sitting in the office just waiting to get the report instead of being operational, going there, making some routine, and how often is that being done. And also during our component management forum, we do a review because we need to account as to say, how are we going to mitigate the occurrence of the security breaches. So we must come up with an action plan, as one of them said, it's a working document for command and control for all the managers. And secondly also, when it comes to the internal processes that are taking place, the measures on the security breaches, are these functions enough to make sure that there's no occurrence of such security breaches? So we started also to make sure that we capacitate the commander in terms of the disciplinary action to say how to go about the process, looking at the merit, because we can't keep on saying there's a housebreaking that is taking place, but when you go there, you find that it's verbally a warning to that member that is happening. So indeed, yes, we do a review or analysis on the occurrence of the security breaches, and we are aiming to decrease them. And those that are inherent, what can we do? Because another thing that we must say, we work with, it's an integrated approach. I'll talk about Parliament. In Parliament, we've got a Parliament protection that is responsible inside the offices. And outside, you'll find your SAPS members that are responsible for the access control. Now, how can we have an integrated approach? Then we have to strengthen on having the meetings together with our Parliament protection, together with the SAPS, and say, where are the gaps? Where can we meet one another? So those are the things that we have taken into consideration.
Chairperson, the next one is career passing, which is one of the carryover that the committee has recommended that we look into. This is work in progress, Chairperson. We are looking at that, and some of the things that we're looking at is rotating so that people can move elsewhere, and looking at that career pathing process. This and areas such as borders, we're looking at those aspects, Chairperson. We would be able to give progress reports maybe in our next
meeting, whether it's a 6 month or whatever, just to get the thinking and the, you know, heads of license in terms of how we're dealing with it.
National Commissioner, no, I appreciate that, because the fact of the matter is that even in terms of our VIP protectors of VIP, the physical protection, I honestly believe if we're not looking at the wellness of our staff at that level, it becomes a security risk in itself. I mean, that person is walking next to the VIP with a firearm, being unhappy. And we need to look at that. I mean, there were some ministers that raised the issue because the VIP protectors also speak to them. I mean, you start building up a relationship with this person. And we really need to have a look at that. And treat our people, you know, with the necessary respect as well in terms of that. You know, I'm currently sitting with two, and you will get my latest National Commissioner, two female VIP protectors here at Parliament. Oh, yeah, from the VIP protection unit and not the diabetic protectors. Whose families are not here. Whose families are in Georgia and elsewhere. And it's threatened their marriages. And they've been here like for 10 years. And we need to look at it. We definitely need to look at it. Can we continue then?
The last one, Chairperson, is the one on overtime. Agenda Skeppy was going to respond to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you rightly indicate, and I want to start off by saying that in a lot of instances, a relationship, a trust relationship, starts developing between close protector and officer. Be that as it may, it's not so much a payment aspect per se. It's a basic condition of improvement asset which says that you can only work a certain number of hours or time, a portion, in terms of overtime. Now, all in all, and please, Brigadier, assist me here, we work on 100 hours per month, if I'm correct. Now, the fact of the matter is, you've got two choices. Either you rotate your protectors so that each one do not work more than that, and that does not happen because of that relationship. So the person starts working more than that 100 hours. Now, it's actually prohibited in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. Now, then we start off with a time off scenario and so forth, because you can't really make the payment per se. But on the other hand, the person has worked, so what do you do? Now, the National Commission also had previous discussions in this regard, and actually HRU is also involved, or personnel, human resource management. Because what we will have to do is we will have to see whether there's any manner or way that we can ask, even if we have to go to labor, a deviation in terms of that. I don't know whether the Minister of Labor maybe have deviation powers in order to allow us for that specific category of people. Otherwise, we are a bit, to use that phrase, between a rock and a hard place in this regard, because it's a law to comply with. Now, that makes the payment, or makes it a payment issue. It's actually not a payment issue. The cause of this is, to a large extent, working vis-a-vis legislative prerequisites, if I may. I'll leave it at that. Obviously, there are so many permutations. If you merely find it in your close protector environment, not really your static protector because it is a shift system and so forth. But those are the dilemmas. You get people there speaking to ministers and so forth. That didn't really happen because of the nature of the service they provide to this specific person. Thank you.
I think as much as we need to look at that, we also need to speak to the VIPs themselves. Have an engagement with them, maybe through our minister, to them about understanding the need to rotate these people, you know, because it's also putting unnecessary pressure on the department but also on the individual. So I think it's something that needs to be, as you say, you've got to look at labour, but you've also got to look at the end user of the VIP sector. National Commissioner, that the last one, if I'm not mistaken. That's the second last one, because I've got one more than one please, and that would be the last one. Is there any other members still have anything? Very last question. Getting me back to security clearances. Where do we stand with the security clearances of our staff within this environment?
Chairperson. Are you able to assist me in this regard with all of you? Whichever way. Ready?
Thank you, General.
How many people in the tonight? Let's take it that way. How many people do you have in the environment? What's your reflection on the current rating? Same with you, President Kavali. And also, immediately tell us of the working process plan of ensuring that you deal with whatever there is if you haven't yet dealt with it. So if we can go into that space. Who's ready to start? Regis Kavali.
Thank you, National Commissioner, Madam Chair. In terms of the figures that we have for the, because we have two environments within the VAT, of course it's the VAT and the static. Now in terms of the VAT environment, nationally we stand at 971, and then the presidential is 331. And then in terms of static, the static we stand at 2,494, that is PSS, and then the PPS is stand at 570, I'm sorry.
So if you can get this clearly.
The VAT environment we stand at 971 for the VAT environment, and then the presidential stands at 331. And then in terms of static, we stand at VAT, that is for the VAT environment, because it's two, is the VAT and the presidential. At the VAT environment nationally, we stand at 2,494, which is the PSS, and then for the presidential, we stand at 570 nationally.
Here is the status of this. So again, give me, out of the 971 in the VIP environment, how many of them have current security valid rating?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think one has to be honest. I think we provided that information because we do have, in terms of stats currently, where we stand in as far as vetting is concerned. It's only that we didn't bring it there, Madam Chair.
Can intelligence help you with that? I'm worried about the fact that you don't have it here. Surely you should have thought about the fact that we're going to ask this. You're supposed to bring this back up.
Yes, Madam Chair. Truly in response to that, the figures that I currently have before me, it was actually the ones that we had, we were able to issue the security clearance for the period of 2012-2013 in that environment. And honestly speaking, we were able to only issue 42 security clearance, whereby in the professional security service. And we dealt with 176 that we can clearly confirm that we have done the investigation in that area, and 134 they are in process.
Thank you. 42 Scott, 176 you're busy with the investigation. The 134 is in the process, I presume that just means it's been registered that it needs to start. It's a third of what you should be doing. This is a security risk. It's clearly a security risk. Let's go to the presidential one. 331, how many of them have current security clearance?
Madam Chair, I can confirm that since we were busy with the capacity building of appointing a coordinator for intelligence, we started from scratch. All members within our environment were submitted, but I don't have the number here, and it can be made available to say how many have been granted and how many are in process.
I don't believe that you don't have it. You can't have all the others and you don't have this one.
Madam Chair, that's true. That report to say that this is unacceptable. The rationale behind specification from the figures that we gave was due to the fact that in 2012-2013, we did have priorities that we have looked into, and the feedback in terms of the priority, that was the one that one was currently on hand from my side, and I do admit that it is totally unacceptable. We were supposed to have ensured that that also is evident to it.
Am I wrong to assume that it's more is going to be the same reflection?
I think what we get here is Joseph has said. She is indicating that we have introduced in that environment a dedicated intelligence element, and this is like the FMS, we're treating it as starting from scratch. Everybody, even those that have. And like that, then what Chairperson Murphy would do is to give you information on which ones were current and which ones were expired and what were due in that space.
I'm not wrong to assume it's going to be more or less the same application.
I'm not able to confirm that, Chairperson.
The National Commission is now looking like, sounding like a politician now. 2494. Current clearances, how many? None. Process, none. Investigation, none.
Okay, like, I don't want to repeat what the National Commissioner has, but that is my response in that area. At this point in time, when we actually, Madam Chair, speak about protection and security systems, we are actually referring to both CETIC and DIP. And therefore, on that note, separating them, to give an indication of the separation on the DIP and the TIC side, that's what I mean, that I want to be able to do.
You just did. That's not the issue. You just did. You told it, and the VIP, this is what the current situation is. Then you said to me, very strategically, you can't give it to me in terms of the president because you don't have it here, which I will accept. I mean, the chica will accept it. Static. Now you're telling me you can't give it to me because you don't have that differentiation, but you just did. You just did. So either tell me you don't have it here, but don't tell me you can't, but you just did that.
You're absolutely right, Madam Chair. Let me completely say that in the matter.
You know, I'm not talking to you. This is a serious concern. And we want a breakdown of this. And we want this quickly and information on Wednesday. And we also want to know how are we expediting this process. I really, really, and I mean, every single one of these, I wanted to say maybe the VIP protects someone important, but it's not. Because the VIP VIPs that are protecting goes to a static environment where somebody else is without the clearance. It's really, really, really a big concern. Okay, members, anything else? Okay, that brings us to the end of PSS. National Commission, before I summarize, anything else from your side?
Chairperson, maybe just to say on behalf of the members, all members of SAPS, we take this opportunity to have engaged with the portfolio committee to present our report for the financial year that has just ended. I will start off by appreciating the very honest, the robust, the rigorous, objective, and the open engagement that the members of the committee extended to the information, to us, and the information that we were sharing during the past 3 days. In fact, I shall say that looking at other portfolios, I keep on saying that why can't we come for just a day? But when I start seeing some of the issues, the intensity, one
have some appreciation for why this portfolio, because of its complexity, because of its sheer largeness, because of its significance in terms of the output of the nation, I'm starting to have an appreciation of why we have to engage in this fashion. I also want to say, Chairperson, we note with the seriousness it deserves all the comments and the recommendations, advices that we've received during this session. We hope those will help to improve our county when we go to the next environment, the next session of accounting. We are committed to a continuous improvement process, and we shall always ensure that we start from where we've ended. The issues you've raised, to say, in future, as we come before you, we'll start from the recommendations that were given, and to show how we've pushed in terms of those, and then report on other areas. But I also want to take this opportunity, as I did in the forward, Chairperson, to say, in the short period that I've been there, I want to appreciate the fact that the organization is moving forward. I'd like to appreciate the fact that the organization is also starting to, in a very concise and a sort of expression, starting to embrace challenges, analyzing them, dismembering them, and trying to come up with a solution for those. I like the traction that I'm starting to see in individual commanders, senior commanders, being in charge of their environment and starting to appreciate the fact that the success of that depends on the individual contribution by each one of them and their team. There is a mantra I use with the team always when I meet with them. I'm saying, we are collectively accountable, but we're individually responsible. So I'm looking for that individual responsibility, because the report, as it is, it's not my report. It is the report of the commanders. I'd like them to have the information under their scheme, on the tips of their fingers, and to fully understand the challenges that are before them and their teams to be able to, you know, account fully. And I'm hoping that as they leave here, they were taking notes of the challenges that are sitting in their respective environment. But before we even come with a report of this accounting session, they will already, as they sit as an executive team, to start saying there are issues and the things we need to deal with. I want to thank the Chairperson and this Parliament and the executive of the government for the support that we have been given as a portfolio. And I also want to say, for the recognition of the significance that this department plays, and for being kind to us, once there are so many resource constraints, to assist us, to give us something that enables us to be able to work. So for that, I want to say thank you. And to the members, let me start off by saying those that worked hard towards preparing our report, we have learned that we can do even better. We have picked up our weaknesses. We will deal with those. But let me thank them. To consolidate an accounting report for such a large department can never be an easy task. It is one of the most demanding tasks, and thank you to you and your team and everybody who assisted you. I want to say thank you. We hope that the constructive criticism that we've given you is giving you enough homework to go home and go and work a little bit. And to the members, for the hard work, I just want to say, let's keep the passion,
let's keep the focus, let's keep the accent, the integrity in delivering our services. Chairperson, I want to say I am a very proud and aspirant leader of this organization, and I'm an eternal optimist. I do believe that we shall endeavor to continuously do and serve this nation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kunisha. I just want to, before I say my final words, summarize our peers. It's within awaiting a litigation report on the contribution of the IP security unit to the litigation cost ourselves. We also want the disciplinary report on the VIP unit specifically. And then the last one is again around the mobility of the static environment within this. And then obviously the report that we are making in terms of the security clearances, but also how are we going to address this issue. The National Commissioner, as with the rest, these questions we need by Wednesday. Simply because of the time constraints we are in addressing the committee reports. National Commission and your team, I want to thank you for the week that we've had. It is not an easy week, not to yourselves, neither to ourselves. I must say my respect for the previous chairperson has grown during this week, because when you're a member of the committee as well, you can sometimes just knock off, but when you're not, when you sit in the chair, you really have to focus. And I want to also thank the members, even though many of them have to leave, because there's some, unfortunately, many of the members on this committee comes from the smaller provinces where the flights are not always as frequent as those who come from Gauteng. I want to thank the members, first of all, for their dedication and for the time that they put in, the energy they put in, and the passion that they also show in this. I want to thank the research team. Nicolette, thank you very much for the preparation work that you've done. Urban, for your preparation work. It's your first time that you're on your worker committee, and also for the engagement during the process. Also, Babawa, committee secretary, committee assistant. Then I want to thank SAPS and SAPS management specifically in this regard. We know that it's not something that you look forward to. We've got no illusions about that. And I think it would be problematic if any department was looking forward to these annual reports, because it is supposed to be a creative tension and a constructive tension in this report. I think the important thing is when we leave here that we still can look each other in the eye and be able to shake each other's hands. We do not claim to know better than the management of the SAPS. It's not our job to know better. But the reality of the matter is that when we sit and we engage on this level and in this matter, members of the committee are doing so as study representatives of people of South Africa, those people who pay your salaries every single month. They also do so at the same time as the public representatives of the man and woman in blue, because we are also a point where they refer to when they do have problems. And we do so with a clear understanding of what our role and responsibility is, and with a clear remembering the oath that we ourselves also do when we start our term in Parliament. We do believe that even though we might know, we do not know better than the management, that the suggestions that we make are objective. They sometimes serve a purpose because we do have that little bit of distance from the organization that management don't always have, that you're not looking at because you're so involved in it. This ship is huge, and I've been saying that from the first day that the National Commissioner was appointed in my comments to the media. The ship is huge. We're not going to see the change immediately. You don't turn around a ship of this size overnight, but we want to see continuous move into the right direction. It turns slowly, but we need to continue to see that it keeps on turning. We don't want it to move backwards. We want the DA National Commissioner to acknowledge the successes, and they were visible, and the improvements. They were visible. We've listed them every single day. We've listed them, and we will reflect on them also in our report, as we would with the problems that we have. It will be a report that reflects on the good as well as the bad. I want to thank every single one of your team, also those over the past 3 days that have been here before, for tolerating us, although you don't have much of a choice in that manner, you've got to, but the same thing, and for the engagement, for allowing us to ask the next question and the next question. It is important, because it contributes to the understanding of it as well. I think many things became apparent for us, but I also think in the engagement, many things became clear for you as a management as well, also in terms of where we still have weaknesses, where we still have to address it and issues. But I also want to take the opportunity to thank the men and women in blue. We all, in the end, whether it's from the committee side or whether it's on the management side, should not forget the work that they do and the role that they play. And sometimes when we get robust with you, it's because we know what happens at station level. We know under what circumstances police officers are doing their work. And as I said in the beginning, because we also represent them. As much as you represent them, but you represent them as their bosses. We represent them on a different level. National Commissioner, your team, good luck with what lies ahead. We're almost at the time where you can go into the festive season where the rest of us hopefully can get a few minutes rest. Although this year politicians will not get much rest either given the elections coming up. We know that you are not going to rest. And that's why I'm saying we know it's a difficult and busy period for the police, so good luck with that. We're looking forward to the engagement, those of us who would be fortunate enough to come back after the elections for further engagements with SAPS. I'm sure even those who might not be coming back would still follow with interest what is happening within this environment. Thank you very much for every single one of the journalists who have been here over the past few days. My own secretary as well has also been here. We appreciate your interest in this committee. If we sat here and we talk in a closed room and you don't carry out the message, there's no use in us sitting here because that is what it's about. This government is a transparent government who says these are our challenges, but also this is how we're going to address those challenges. And this is what these engagements are all about. I thank you all.